Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Joan Pride, Senior Editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, welcome back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Jim.
Happy New Year to you. Are you okay?
Oh, I think I'll survive.
You know, I
stayed up a little too late.
I can't see you, but you sound a little green around the gills.
Just a little.
Are you just a little green around the gills?
Well, I didn't get much sleep last night, but
yeah.
I'm here. At least I'm here.
But you didn't over-imbibe, did you?
Well, I imbibed, but I didn't go crazy.
You didn't over-imbibe, huh?
Right.
Well, I'm glad
you're here. I approached the line, but didn't go over it.
I'm glad you're here, and if
Thank
I
you.
And I suspect it might be a good thing that this is radio.
Oh, I think it's a great thing. I don't think your listeners are ready for what I look like this morning.
Well, and of course, I never put my makeup on until after the show. So
there you go.
It's a good thing that it's radio. Joan, this week the Kiplinger letter focuses on an interesting thing. I don't think I remember doing this before. You and I've been doing this now for 5 years. This is actually the anniversary of our fifth anniversary. Is it our fifth anniversary? Yeah, fifth anniversary.
I think so.
Yeah, and congratulations, by the way. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We'll have to get you some special music in a little bit. But,
anyway,
I don't remember actually having a letter that focused on infrastructure before. Did we do that before?
And one thing, let me explain to your listeners the letter that we're looking at. Once a year, at the end of the year, we do a letter that we call the Year Ender. And in that letter, it doesn't follow the format of the regular Kiplinger letter, which, as you know, is a lot of little items about a lot of different things.
Snippets.
Exactly. In this letter, we take one subject and write four pages about it. We have tended to write about things such as technology, scientific advances, a lot about demographics, things like that. But this year, we took, a different approach, and I found to be very interesting, which was infrastructure. And by infrastructure, we mean soup to nuts, roads, bridges, tunnels, ports, everything you can imagine, and taking a look at the state of the U.S. infrastructure and what it needs to improve over the next, not just year, but many years.
And the word that you use to describe, to sort of give a grade to our infrastructure, is strained.
Yeah, that pretty much says it all. We take four pages to explain strained, but that's really all you need to know.
Well, the thing, and we're going to do that, folks. We're going to talk about some of these areas because Kiplinger has identified some things here. Some of it is things that you and I have kind of probably know about and that we suspected, but some of this stuff is not something that I had suspected. And you know, Joan, infrastructure is something we kind of take for granted, don't we?
You know, it's
sort of like our skeleton. You know, we focus on our muscles and we want our skin to look good and our hair to look good, but we often sort of forget about the fact that we have this structure inside of us that holds us up, and we disregard it. We maybe don't nurture it like we should and nourish it like we should, and our infrastructure of our society is kind of like that, isn't it?
That's a good way to put it. We in America, given our wonderful road system and our system of other types of infrastructure, are really kind of spoiled. Mm-hmm. And we just take it all for granted, I think.
Well, and, you know, Joan, think about this. How many times a year do we read in the headlines or we see on television that some ferry has crashed or sunk or
a
bridge collapsed or some bus went over an edge or something. And invariably, when we see that headline, we automatically think about it being somewhere in some other part of the world, some third world country, because we assume that, you know, that most of the time that our infrastructure, our roads and our bridges and the vehicles that do mass transit, we expect that to be, basically perfect, don't we?
Right. We consider it a given, and it's really not. If you're not going to continue the funding for a lot of this, you're going to have problems.
Well, and, you know, Joan, another thing that I was thinking about as I was contemplating your letter here this week, think about the infrastructure that we have. Think about how much of it was designed and was over-designed to give us a long life. But it's actually now in its first generation. Much of our infrastructure is in its first generation. In other words, a lot of bridges are the first bridge that was ever there. A lot of the wiring, you know, that's in houses and buildings and is the first wiring and sewers. We're going to talk about that. It's the first sewer that community ever had, and it's the one they still have.
That's a good point. That's a good way to look at it.
And so we're now moving into the 21st century, 100 years or so, or maybe a little bit less, since some of these things were actually initially installed. We're now needing to move into second-generation infrastructure, aren't we?
Well, that's right. And this stuff isn't going to last forever. So you need maintenance, and you need upgrading and upkeep.
Somebody told me once, Joan, that concrete hardens for the first 100 years. It continues to harden for 100 years. And then after that, I don't know what happens. I don't know if it starts softening after that, but it will keep hardening for 100 years. But
only 100 years.
Well, but the thing is that, you know, who knows whether that's how accurate that is. Whoever said that, probably they didn't know. I mean, they hadn't seen concrete, you know, really good concrete. And of course, Jonah, a bridge that was built all those years ago, even 50 or 60 years ago, might not have been with the same standards that we build bridges with today.
Well, that's true, too. That's a good point.
So, according to Kiplinger, there's plenty of work to be done. Roads. Here's something that I had not ever heard anybody do, Jonas, and that's put a number to these things. You guys say a third of our major roads are no better than mediocre, and many of them are in poor condition.
And then that doesn't even count, you know, minor roads. I'm sure when they say major roads, I'm guessing they mean things such as interstate highways
and such. Yep, U.S. highways, whether they're you know, controlled access or not, exactly.
Right.
And bridges, give us that number. This is scary, folks.
Pretty much the same. Nearly 30% of bridges are obsolete or structurally deficient. And you've probably seen that in the news, bridges that have collapsed in places like Connecticut and elsewhere.
I've seen some state reports on bridges that really were frightening, and it was a sobering report that those states got, and they realized, many states have started working on their bridges, but it costs a lot of money.
Sure
does.
Stand
by, Joan. We're going to take a quick break. It's 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Way back up in the woods among the evergreens, the student law cabin made of earth and wood, where lived a country boy named Johnny B. Good, who never ever saw the midnight sun.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Joan Pride, Senior Editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, we're talking about infrastructure of our nation, of the United States, and that includes a lot of different areas, and these are all things that we take for granted. Every single thing that we're going to talk about are things that we basically take for granted. We pick up the phone, we expect it to work. We decide to take a trip, we expect the road to be in good shape and the bridge to be in good shape, or the ferry to be on time, or the train to be on time, and to get us there safely. We just expect that. Joan, aren't those things our inalienable right? Isn't that something God divine that we should have?
Well, wasn't all this stuff here before we were?
It's been there for like millions of years, hasn't it? You know, it's perfect. Well,
but you know, Jim, I would venture to guess that most of your listeners out there live near some kind of road improvement project. You can't drive very far in this country without some major road project going on, especially on the interstates, and it never seems to end.
Especially going through around any kind of a metropolitan area.
Right.
You know, you wonder if maybe sometimes I drive through those places and I think, you know what? This is just to delay me. That's what they're doing this for. It's not to improve
the roads.
They're
out to get you.
Because it's exactly right, just to inconvenience me. Joan, here's a scary thing. The dams story. Give us that number.
We say more than 10,000 are considered at high risk of failing. I didn't know we had
10,000.
10,000
dams.
Right.
That's
well, this
scary.
Is why Kiplinger's here, to educate you.
That's right. And you know, Joan, there are more earthen dams out there, I think, than we probably would like to think about.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, there's still some. I think there are still some.
I'm
earthen,
not the dam expert, okay?
You are kind of a dam expert sometimes, Joan. But, I've known of you being that way before. Another thing, Joan, you'd point out is about 20% of our schools need repair, and I would have thought
extensive repair.
I would have thought that would have been even higher than that.
Well, we say extensive. I'll bet the number of schools needing any repairs is probably well over half, is my guess. And 20%, I mean, one-fifth of the schools need extensive repairs.
And then, Joan, the sewer systems that you guys point out, that you say, and as I alluded to earlier, some of them are 100 years old.
Wow.
But you say that many require upgrades. I would say that would be an understatement, probably. What are we going to do about this? Is the government going to come up with any money for this, Joan?
Well, just to put this in perspective, think about how much is needed. We're saying that $2 trillion over 5 years would pay the bill.
Huh.
And we're saying that over the next 6 years, Congress will approve about $375 billion. So that's kind of, I don't want to say drop in the bucket, but it's certainly not the whole tab.
Well, and Joan, you know, the thing that we have to realize is there are two things going on here. Number one is the aging of our infrastructure.
Right.
And number two is the increased capacity and the increased demand of our infrastructure. I mean, you and I have talked about how much our population is going to increase over the next 50 years significantly. And that's more automobiles, more trucks bringing supplies. We haven't, you know, nobody's come up with a transporter, a Star Trek transporter that will beam things back and forth. We still have to carry them over roads and somehow. And so we actually could be getting a quantum leap behind where we need to be. Not only do we need to upgrade what we have, what we currently need, but also in preparation for what's coming, what the demand is in the future.
Right, and the perfect example of the demand problem, one that we haven't talked about yet, is airports.
Yeah.
Think about the capacity of airports now and the number of people using them. You know, true that things dropped a little bit after September 11th, but the numbers are going back up, and if you look at any projections, it's kind of scary in terms of how crowded airports and airlines are going to be over the next several years.
Mm-hmm.
And another one that worries me, living in the Washington metropolitan area, is mass transit. There are projections of our system alone not being able to handle the number of people that are going to need to use it within the next, I think, 5 years.
And, Joan, nationally, we're not ramping up mass transit, are we?
No, we are not. And you would think that that's where the money would be going, but it's a very expensive proposition, and governments, and that's the problem we're having here, is that the governments are failing to get together and commit the money that would really be needed to keep, not just upgrade the system, but just to maintain it properly.
We need high-speed rail in this country, I think, Joan. Don't you think so?
We sure do, but I'm not getting my hopes up anytime soon.
I mean, Japan has done this successfully. I think, and I hate to say this, this galls me to have to say this,
France?
I think the French have done it successfully. That's the only thing that they've done successfully, besides some pretty good wine and some cheese. They've done that successfully. I love the term that they use for their high speed train, though. They call it grand vitesse, which means great speed.
Sounds beautiful.
It is beautiful, and it's a beautiful term. But I think we need more of that. And Joan, aren't you surprised that we haven't, that in the 21st century America doesn't have that? I mean, wouldn't you think that there'd be a coast to coast network of high speed rail?
You would think we would be on the cutting edge. But you remember, in our country, we have too much of a love affair with our cars.
Yeah.
And that has let the railroad system kind of die down. And also, I think airports and airlines have overtaken the railroads, but I don't think that's a good thing.
Well, and if you think about it, Joan, you know, right now you can fly from middle America to New York round trip for $300 a lot of times. It's hard to believe you can get a train ticket for less than that. So that's another thing to think about. Anyway, come take a quick break. It's 29 after. We'll be right back with our good friend, Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Happy New Year, everybody. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And, folks, I encourage you to check out their website. It's Kiplinger.com, K-I-P-L-I-N-G-E-R.com, Kiplinger.com. And it's an outstanding site. I've been using it for years. Before Joan and I ever met, I've been reading their letter, their weekly Kiplinger letter, which is the flagship letter. It's been around now for over 80 years. I've been reading it almost that long, and I encourage you to check it out. You can subscribe to it and the three biweekly letters, the California, the tax, and the agriculture letter, all three of those different letters, which come every other week. And you can subscribe to all four of those letters and their magazine on their website at Kiplinger.com, or you can call an 800 number, which Joan is going to give us, and she's also going to tell us about that magazine thing.
Well, the magazine is called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine, and if you're interested in any of our publications, you should call our toll-free number, which is 800-544-0155.
And the really important thing about the Kiplinger letter, Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine, is it and its predecessor, which used to be Changing Times, has been around since the 40s, over 50 years.
Longer than me. Wow.
Well, actually, it's pretty close to my vintage, I think, Joan. And all that can be found, as I said, the phone number Joan gave, and also at the website. And folks, the website has a lot of free information on it, some information that I think you'll enjoy. So check that out. And don't forget, the letters come either electronically or by mail. Joan, one of the things that surprised me was the way you guys put a number to delays, to road delays, and how much that costs us every year. And the number was staggering. Tell us about it.
Well, I hope your listeners are sitting down. We say that road delays will cost $80 billion next year.
In a year.
And keep rising. A year, and keep rising.
By 7%.
And when we say costs, we mean loss of productivity, but, you know, workers getting to work late.
Four and a half billion hours. Four and a half billion with a B hours of work.
Plus, that it also involves fuel wasted by people who have to sit around in traffic jams who can't get to work.
6 billion gallons of fuel wasted in traffic jams. Unbelievable.
It is.
And damage to vehicles, you guys are estimating at 50 billion? You guys are hung up on this B word, aren't you?
Right.
And traffic congestion adds to the cost of goods, on and on and on. And of course, as we said, with the increase in population, that means our highways are going to be more congested. Joan, what are we going to do?
Well, it's a combination of things. As we said, Congress is going to appropriate money to fix a lot of this stuff, but there are a lot of other things that need to be done. Businesses need to get involved and make some logical choices, and we need better traffic management too.
Well, one of the things that you guys suggested, which I think is a good idea, is to improve our management practices, which could include help encouraging our employees to manage their time and working with them to manage their time. So maybe they come to work a little early. I know that a lot of times you go to work a little early and you leave a little early so you can avoid the rush.
That's exactly right. And then, of course, there's always telecommuting and things like that. That's going to have to be, I think, a bigger part of all of this.
Joan, that's the sleeper.
Sure is.
I'm convinced, Joan. I was thinking about this when I was reading your letter. The sleeper in all of this, the thing that's going to help to mollify this impact on us is going to be the changes in the way people work.
That's right.
The telecommuting. I'm convinced that more and more, as we move into the 21st century, Joan, more and more of us, I predict that in less than 10 years, you or people who do what you do will work from home and will not go to the Kiplinger office 5 days a week.
I believe it. But that's the thing, though. It's going to be a gradual change because you have to change mindsets. You have to change the minds of managers who think that if you're home, you probably aren't putting in a full day's work, and that's not necessarily true.
So the capability, the technology is there, isn't it?
Oh, I mean, sure.
The ability to do this, we have it, folks, in spades. We
in
have
spades.
This. The problem is the culture.
Right.
The problem is between our ears, isn't it, Joan?
Always has been.
It really has. 22, we'll be right back with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Happy New Year. Stay with us. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Happy New Year to everybody. You too, Joan.
Thank you, Jim.
And let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, John Bertu is going to join us. We're going to talk about what has to happen in 2004 to continue this tax reform momentum that we've had in tax reduction and tax reform that we've been working on for so long. John's the man who can help us do that. And then we've got a guy named Bob Reiser who's going to be here, and a great lady named Philippa Games, who's going to be here, and I'll tell you more about them a little bit later on. Let's get back to Joan, because we're talking about the infrastructure letter that Kiplinger offered us this week, and it's a very important point. These are very important points that are being made, folks, and I hope that you get a chance to, if you haven't already, I hope you get a chance to get a copy of this letter, and it's the one that was dated the 19th, December 19th. Joan, ports. Now, this is really an interesting thing to me because I don't think we really appreciate, the average person really appreciates how much of our economy depends on our seaports.
Well, I think we think about goods getting shipped by truck, railroad, and air, but I don't think we understand the critical component that shipping is in this country.
Because most of us don't see ports. We see trucks and trains and planes, but we don't see a port that much.
Right, that's a good point. And we might think that boats are old-fashioned, but they really aren't. There's a lot of things that can only be carried by boat, especially if we're getting goods from overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And we're saying that ports are in danger of becoming choke points to the trade boom. So that's pretty serious.
Well, and Joan, think about this. I mean, we already know that Americans demand product from overseas. We like, you know, whether we like the balance of trade problem,
right.
We like those products coming there. We like getting a $30 shirt that's made in China that would, if it were made here, would cost us $75. We like that high quality shirt that we get, and so many other products. We want that. Most of us do, and so. What that means is that's putting extra pressure. I mean, those extra imports, that trade imbalance, much of it is manifesting in our ports, isn't it?
No question about it. That's right.
And so that's something but you know, Joan, another thing, the more our ports become congested and inefficient, you know, one of the things that the Homeland Security folks have to pay attention to is terrorism coming in by sea.
That's right.
And so the more congested it becomes, the more inefficient it is, then, you know, all that does is create opportunities for terrorists. So that's a real concern, isn't it?
Well, and because the last major terrorist attack on September 11th was by air, there was a lot of focus in the immediate aftermath of keeping the skies safe. But as you point out, the ports are another major point of entry that we really have to work on and make sure they are safe.
And, Joan, those ports are typically around significant populations, aren't they?
That's right.
Major hubs, major distribution hubs, which means, you know, a lot of businesses locate there for that purpose.
New York, Los Angeles, Baltimore,
yep.
New Orleans.
Exactly.
I'm
Houston.
Thinking San Francisco, I'm sure Texas.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, no question about it. And It's something to think about. Joan, let's move down and talk about water. Now, this is a very interesting thing. When I think about water, when I think about the challenges we have with water, I don't think of it being challenges. I think of wars, water wars.
And we've seen that, sure, and we're going to see more of it.
It's happening
between
right now.
Localities.
Maryland and Virginia is now in a water war. Georgia, Alabama, and Florida are now in a water war.
Right.
Joan, any kind of a problem, an upset at all to the Colorado River. And look at, we got 8 western states that depend on the Colorado River for their
water. That's right. And you have so many states out in the west, I'm thinking states like Nevada, that are really large deserts and have to have so much water pumped in and are so dependent on these sort of artificial setups.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so, we've got some serious challenges there with our water. You know, the eastern half of the United States, typically we don't worry that much about it because the eastern half of the United States is blessed with a lot of water, isn't it, typically?
Even though
we've got states fighting over it one way or the other, the truth is, we've had droughts. We have had droughts. The south has had droughts. The northeast have had droughts. Both of them have had them in the last 5 years or so. But the truth is nothing compared to what can happen in the western states. And so,
that's right.
You know, water is another thing that most of us take for granted, isn't it?
No question about it. We think it's free. It's not free. We all pay a water bill. But still, you turn on that tap, you just expect it to be there.
That's right. Energy. Talk to us about energy, Joan. What's the power situation for the future?
Well, we're just full of good news this morning. On the energy front, we have to talk about power shortages. And yet again, just like when we talked about road delays, these come with a cost. And we're estimating that power shortages are taking $200 billion from the economy on an annual basis.
$200
billion. Yeah.
That's something.
And we need to modernize the power transmission system, but guess what? We need more power plants. We just haven't been putting new ones online, and that's going to show pretty soon.
Well, and part of that, Joan, was a reaction to the nuclear situation. You know, we had Three Mile Island really set back the nuclear program in the United States. That little meltdown basically
set
things back. And we may have to look at nuclear again. Ten Tales. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Lassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I've got Pollyanna Pride here with us today.
I'm the anti-Pollyanna.
That's Joan Pride, the anti-Pollyanna. Yeah, she just brings tidings of woe here. But it's reality, folks.
I think what
we've done here, Joan, if nothing else today, we have reminded people that we can't be cavalier. We can't be dismissive or indifferent to our infrastructure. I mean, it's literally the backbone, the skeleton of our society, of our culture, of our economy, and our security, Joan, our own security.
That's right. I mean, the longer we let it go, the bigger the price tag is going to be ultimately.
That's right. And so we've got to pay attention to these things and make sure that they get fixed. But you know, Joan, I really would like to encourage us all to focus on next generation. In other words, realize that our infrastructure that we have is probably first generation infrastructure.
Right.
And we need next generation infrastructure, which means that we don't just need to fix what we have. We probably need to put new stuff in. We need to put the next generation technology, the next generation knowledge. We don't just need to fix a bridge. We need to put a new bridge in with a new concrete technology that's out there now, and a new structural technology. So
that's right.
These are all things that we need to focus on with our elected representatives. Joan, let's talk about schools. On page 4, you guys brought up the issue of schools and how those schools are going to be affected by enrollment over the next few years.
Right. Well, and, you know, this thing kind of goes up and down. We're saying the need for new schools won't be as acute because we'll have slower enrollment growth in that, you know, population age.
The generation waves.
Exactly. But that'll give us time to catch up on the, you know, maintenance front, trying to keep these schools up. Because remember, we said at the beginning of the program that 20% of our schools need extensive repairs.
Joan, I've been saying this for a long time. I still say that colleges especially have got to be careful about investing a lot of money in 100-year buildings, because I believe that by the middle of this century that we won't even recognize the way we educate our people.
You're talking about distance learning?
That's it. And yeah. And I believe, and I think it will impact, the K-12 grades, Joan, because of homeschooling.
Oh, and that's become quite a force in this country, and not just with any particular religious group. A lot of people are doing it.
I personally am not a fan of homeschooling. I actually don't think it's a good idea. I think the interaction, the social interaction and all that is really important. It's just not something I think is a good thing. But a lot of people do it, and many of them do it successfully.
And they do it because they're fed up with the state of their public schools.
That's
which
it.
Which is a shame.
And I can't blame people for that. I certainly don't.
Right. But they shouldn't have to.
But the thing is, though, Joan, with technology that we have now, it's going to make distance learning, it's going to make homeschooling more possible, more efficient, more effective, and more socially acceptable in the future. And that's going to change and perhaps level out some of the demand for the school infrastructure.
That's right. That's a very good point.
Telecom. This is a big deal, isn't it? If you unplugged me from my telephones and all my different connections, Jones, I'd be out of business.
We got something positive here. We see the information superhighway is in good shape. Finally, on page 4, something positive.
Yeah, because and the reason is, Joan, is because we overinvested and overdesigned in our fiber in the fiber for telecom connections.
That's right.
That we're still paying for.
That's right.
So that is good news. We have got that, and that is a very important, Joan. The telecom capability that we now have, that's, as you say, is very good and is getting better. That actually is going to help the other infrastructure, isn't it? Because, as we said, if we don't have to go to school, if we don't have to drive to work, if we can do it all from home, or a much shorter commute, this is an area that could really kind of help that the overall infrastructure, couldn't it?
Right, take some of that strain off. I mean, it doesn't take the strain off manufacturers shipping goods, but it certainly does take the strain off commuters and students.
Right. Well said. Well done, Joan. Thank you for
Thank
being
you.
Here on New Year's Day. We appreciate it very much.
Great way to start the year.
Yeah, it couldn't get any better than this, could
That's
it?
Right. My dream.
Thanks. Yeah, it's like a dream come true. Thanks,
yes.
Joan. See you next time.
Thank you, Jim.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back next week. I got to go. I'm Jim Blasingame. Happy New Year.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.